now for something completely different.
Welcome to Shout Out. Out of the closet and into your ears.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Shout Out, as today we talk to THT in the run-up to World AIDS Day.
And Terry will be joining us a bit later on to take an in-depth look at the news topic of your choice.
I'm Andy Shilton.
And I'm Mitch Graham McMorrow.
And you are listening to Shout Out.
Every time now, because Andy's
forgotten it. It's a new tradition.
It is definitely a new tradition. I feel like my voice should be the only voice to say it or sing it.
Well, you're not sharing the moment.
No, it's a heavenly voice. It's only for the listeners. Like the new.
Is that what your voice is? Heavenly?
It's definitely some sort of
Just wondering.
I'd say it's heavenly.
Why even ask that question?
One split second, Mitch, I thought when you were doing the open, I thought you'd forgotten your name.
You so sounded like you forgot your name, Mick.
Did I?
Yeah, a little bit. There was a little bit of a pause. I was like, does she know it? Like,
yeah, I'd pause for effect.
Okay.
Nice answer.
It's comedy genius.
No, I felt it. Within
it's worrying when you're live.
I mean, that was pretty smooth, though, that intro.
So, come on then, Lara. When is there going to be the Lara show on BCFM?
I'm in talks with the top team. They really want me, but I don't know. I don't know if I'm really ready for it yet.
Where do they really want you?
Yeah, they really, really want me.
The studio's in desperate need for a clean.
2 a.m. Sunday morning.
at the dust.
Oh, that... not just insinuate I'm going to be a cleaner.
I didn't say a word. I just said, look at the dust just on the side.
You're not cleaning
in the same breath.
Well, it just took my attention.
It got cold all of a sudden.
Oh, it's chilly, isn't it?
So did you know it snowed at Bristol Airport today? Apparently,
I heard that. It's like literally gone past the cold stage. It's literally like I don't actually want to step out my flat.
Anyone got their Christmas decorations up yet?
Andy, don't be silly.
Stop it.
I bet you have, haven't you?
Please stop. Why is it like this?
No, hang on. Whoa. We've got the tree out and it's settling, okay? There's no decorations on it.
Oh, my God. It needs to settle.
Goodness for that.
Oopsie. Can I just say to our listeners in Florida that we're talking about cold and they're probably going around in T-shirts.
Yes.
So they won't understand what we're talking about.
And shorts and going, what are you talking about? Yes.
What?
Fair enough. Yeah, no, but we're cold down here. Like, in
My Bajan family are sitting in 30 degrees at the moment.
I mean, my heart does go out to them. That must be terrible.
What a chore.
I know. Chore. Like, my grandma must be so, so loving it, though. She's, like, in the Caribbean sunning herself up. I'm just over here.
Oh, nice.
Freezing. Yeah, I know. She keeps calling me, being like, oh, it's so lovely over here. You should come. Yeah.
No, you'd be there a week and moaning about the heat.
I know. I'm such a moaner. definitely.
I'm not saying a thing.
Excuse me, Andy.
You just started the conversation.
Exactly. Silence says more. It speaks more profoundly than words.
That's why I said I'm not saying a thing. So, anyway, should we get some events? So, our chance, I'll pick of the best events with Lara and Steph. I presume you're both doing it, are you?
Yeah, we are.
Did you nearly forget my name?
No,
yeah,
I was just...
He's so used to say Lara and Tara, so he hasn't got past that yet. No. He's not over it.
You need to change your name. Have you got a middle name that sounds a bit like Steph?
Have you got Beth?
Yeah, that could be
it. Beth and Steph? Not quite. I've got three middle names. None of them come up.
Really? Have you? You got three?
I've got three.
Good Lord.
I got three as well.
I haven't got any.
Oh, clearly.
Really?
You're not as special as us.
I've got three,
I've only got one. I feel all left out.
Oh, well.
Andy has none. Literally nothing.
He's just got Andrew.
That's it.
Andrew when he's naughty.
Andrew when he's naughty.
Yes, Stephanie. Can I have some events,
so,
please, Stephanie?
Yeah, so I'm
oh, you
going
go first.
Are
you? Oh, okay, Lara.
So this Saturday on the 2nd of December, there is a Hush Night. So it's Hush Kings versus Queens. It's an LBTQ plus and friends night. Tickets are £7 at the door, £6 in advance, and £5 for students. And it's 9 p.m. to 3 a.m. with a 9 to 10 for single mingle. So get yourself on down there, and single I will mingle. See you there too. Yeah, I know. I
love oh, you're doing the single mingle.
Of course I'm doing the single mingle. I love a bit of a single mingling.
Did you just
know?
Read that from the promo, or did you make that up?
Oh, no, it is actually singles mingle. Like, oh, I'm okay. Not that cool, so.
Okay. Well, they used to do a speed meet, I think they used to do, like, didn't they?
Yeah.
I think the phrase single mingle is far, far better.
Yeah, definitely, cool, especially at Christmas.
Oh, they've been using it in Brighton for ages.
Oh, I bet they have, darling. I bet they have.
With Prosecco, ho, ho.
Prosecco, ho, ho.
Do you get Prosecco at the door?
You normally get Prosecco at
Hush. Normally.
Does it say? No.
I would leave that as a surprise.
So. Times are hard. Austerity. That would be soda water.
Definitely.
What a dirty laugh. Tickled you quite a bit, that, didn't it?
It's just the idea of soda water. That's all I can afford at this moment. Yeah.
Are you saving for Christmas, though?
No. Like, I'm buying myself presents for Christmas. That's about it.
Oh, right.
So I'm saving for myself.
So that's why you have a soda water?
Pretty much.
Yeah. Fair enough.
Plus, it cleanses the soul.
What, yes. Soda water?
And the blood.
My other half drinks tons of soda water. I'd be so happy to hear that. Although it'll take an awful lot to cleanse his soul.
Ooh, poor Carl.
Poor Carl.
He won't know yet because he doesn't listen to the show until the morning.
So when
you are listening tomorrow morning, Carl.
What will happen?
Demand the best Prosecco.
Yeah, but what will happen is it'll be a really, really quiet office, and all of a sudden, because he's listening to us say something silly on air, you just get this chuckle that kind of carries all the way across the office because he's got headphones on. Yeah. And everyone turns around and it's really sweet.
followed by
listening to Shout Out, aren't you, darling? I can tell.
Followed by a hashtag, I can't believe Steph.
I know, yeah. Although, it might get replaced by Lara at this rate.
Yeah. Is anything else happening?
Lara.
Is anything else happening?
Yes, there is. Avon in Somerset police are joining the World AIDS Day vigil on December the 1st.
Great.
Following the misinformation on HIV transmission in relation to the introduction of the spit guards.
Oh,
so
good.
I guess they're trying to make it up. Let's hope they actually retract that statement and say, no, we were completely wrong. So they've apologised, but they haven't retracted the original statements yet. Mm. it's happening tomorrow because it is World AIDS Day tomorrow.
Yeah.
And Brigstow working in conjunction with Terence Higgins Trust. I won't go too much into this because we've got two guests.
Yes, you're coming in.
I'll be going out and say, you don't need to go in now, guys. I've just done it all for you.
No, we still want to hear from you.
Yes, we do. Polly, the campaigns manager at Brigstow, says the World AIDS Day, we want to have a public conversation on HIV, raise much needed awareness and really make some noise about the condition, which is often shrouded in a lot of silence.
Great, definitely.
The World AIDS Day is tomorrow at 5:30 p.m. College Green, and the procession vigil will start at 6 p.m. at St. James Priory. And the tagline is HIV, it's not over.
That's right.
Yeah, and just one last one. I am heading down to Kiki Bristol. So I can't really tell you where it is, but I can definitely tell you if you get on the Facebook and email them, they will definitely tell you where it is. It's a safe space for cutie pop people, and I can't wait to see you there.
Cool.
Can non-cutie pop people go?
Oh yeah, allies can definitely come, but as long as you're with someone that's cutie pop, I'm sure it's absolutely fine.
Okay. Do you count?
Just say you're with Lara.
Yeah. Can we just?
I mean, there'll be too many people saying that. Yeah, name drop my name. Like, drop it in there like it's hot, and I'm sure like it's hot.
Don't know who I am. I know Lara.
I'm internationally known, so it's fine. Just drop my name, and they'll know it's me.
Turn your mic off, for God's sake, Andy.
Thank you.
Anyway, I'm sure Lara will be back later on, but for now.
Absolutely.
Thank you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
I like that one. That's for Ella. Especially for Ella.
Cut some shapes on this chair at all.
So that is Lynn Fidmont, and it's called Groovy People.
Groovy People.
It's a really kind of. I actually got it from BCFM because I was driving around one day and heard it. I thought, oh, that's a nice cheery song.
Yes, isn't it? You know, yes, definitely.
Nick that and have that on shout out. So.
Yeah, well, so, I'm sure they love you sharing it. They love us sharing it.
Yeah, we don't get many requests for songs, actually. We get tons
of
new
artists. Oh, don't say that. Suddenly, we're just getting inundated for,
Now, anyway, as you're probably aware, we are in the kind of, like, run-up coming up for World AIDS Day. We spoke to Bristow last week, and you heard it mentioned in the events there. So we got some old friends of the show to come back in to have a chat with us. I would say all the way from THT. Of course, I think you've travelled a bit, haven't you? But you are actually still based here, which is one of the things that we want to talk about. But a very warm welcome to the show to Craig and Mark. Hello, guys.
Hi. Good evening.
Now, shall we kick off with that? Because it's one of the things that we were chatting about before we went on air. Of course, everyone's kind of aware now that the premises that you were in Old Market has kind of changed hands and THT aren't there anymore.
Sure.
And a lot of the perception has been that that means THT aren't in Bristol anymore, which couldn't actually be further from the truth, could it?
This is true. I would say that we are alive and well. Mm. So we've split offices now, though. So
right.
There are two of us in the Unity Sexual Health Clinic.
Right.
So we're on the first floor there. And so that's the health promotion arm of THT. And then Bonnie, who works on community support for those people who are HIV positive, is in fact working from this very building in Eastern Community Centre.
Oh,
right,
okay.
Cool.
Because the Brigstow project was upstairs.
They still are, yes.
Is that where
Brigstow are there, and Bonnie's sharing an office with them.
Okay, I see.
I have a funny feeling I met her the other day, actually, about it.
but you'll also see us, you'll see us out and about, and you'll see us online. So just because we're in an office doesn't mean that we're not out there amongst the community.
So what is the main way that people tend to get in contact with you then?
So, well, there are various ways. We're online, so you'll find us at least kind of once or twice a week. We're on the kind of main apps.
As in a chat type. Right.
Or we're also out in the community in the bars and clubs. So we quite often would go out with Brigstow or the guys from Bristol Drugs Project or Off the Record, and people can meet us on the scene. Or alternative, they can get in touch with us via email or phone. So in terms of the wider THT, they can find us at tht.org.uk, and they can also find the direct line number if they're wanting help throughout the day.
But also, you do outreach. Is that correct?
That's right.
You do outreach, and whereabouts do you tend to do your outreach?
So you'd find us on the scene, really. Mm. So Old Market and the clubs, the Queen Shilling, OMG, and the OMG Bar.
And I think what's really interesting, so obviously Mark does a lot of work within Bristol, but
yes,
as a national organisation, so as you quite rightly said, we're kind of the eve before World AIDS Day, which is tomorrow.
Yes.
And that's a great opportunity for us to kind of remember people that we've lost from HIV and AIDS, but also to kind of support people that are still living with HIV. We're kind of coming towards the end now of National HIV Testing Week. So it is a national organisation and we kind of have national campaigns. Mm. So because it's World AIDS Day tomorrow, you can see both Mark and I are wearing our red ribbons, and that's our kind of campaign this year. We want the world to see red. So you guys, we'd like to kind of see you tomorrow with your red ribbon on, so
yes,
that we can kind of just build up some awareness around HIV and start to break down the stigma that kind of still unfortunately exists.
Yes. And there is a lot of that about, unfortunately,
yes,
isn't it? Even now,
yes.
As you may well have heard on previous shows, we've obviously had the whole issue with spit guards and the like,
sure,
and that kind of spreading misinformation. I mean, as a charity, I don't know if you can comment on this or not, but it must be a bit annoying when you see things like that and you think, like, all the hard work we're doing to try and get over the stigma, and something as simple as that can just throw it back so far.
I think what that does is it kind of just shows the misconceptions that still exist around HIV. So I guess, first of all, certainly we don't condone any violence towards the police or any of our kind of services.
No, and I should point out that no one ever has.
Sure,
I mean, no one's ever disputed the need for spit guards. What was the dispute was that you could...
Sure, and I guess the message is that actually you cannot contract HIV from saliva, and we can kind of confidently say that. But what that does is it does kind of show it's a misconception. There is still a lack of education around HIV and transmission. what's really exciting, so we've just launched a national campaign recently called Camp Pass It On.
Yes.
And that's really great, because actually what we're saying to people is that we now know there's enough evidence to say that if you are living with HIV, if your virus is managed, you are taking your medication and your virus is suppressed, then you are not infectious. You cannot pass that on. And that's going to be a great way of starting to educate people. This is a great opportunity for people to hear that so that we can start to break the stigma down.
And that would really kind of put a halt on all these kind of ill-informed comments as well, wouldn't it? From people like the police as well with their...
But it's not just
comments.
Police. I mean, there's a lot that goes on things like the apps as well, isn't there? Yeah. And a lot of the dating things. And you get some really nasty terms that go up, which if you're suffering from HIV, it can be quite devastating to read.
Sure. And I think it's that whole thing. I know I came onto the show back last year and we kind of talked about testing with National Testing Week at the moment. The key message is that actually, if you're living with HIV and you're taking your medication, then you are non-infectious. What we want to do is encourage people to actually test for HIV. Mm. Sadly, there are still 1 in 8 people that have HIV and don't know this.
So
that high. Totally. We have seen a reduction, and that's great.
And have you seen an effect from some of the new drugs like PrEP that's come out as well? Has that had an impact?
Yeah, certainly. So, I mean, certainly one of the things we'd want to promote to your listeners is PrEP as one part of a wider armory. So we're still advocating that men use condoms. So that's one thing that they could do. But certainly with the advent of PrEP, it's, as Craig quite rightly said, is reducing the number of new diagnoses, alongside the fact that we're increasing testing. As a result of last year, there was around about 1.1 million tests took place, and as a result of those tests taking place, people who tested positive were then able to get onto treatment sooner. And as a result of getting onto treatment sooner, they then can't pass it on.
And the testing is much quicker now, isn't it? So you get your results much, you know, from certain places much quicker. Is that right?
So you've got various options for testing. You can go into your local sexual health clinic, and as Mark said, we're working kind of in conjunction, in partnership with Unity in Bristol as our lead provider, but also Terence Higgins Trust have always provided testing, point of care testing, so you get your result that day. There's been a massive increase in testing over the last week because it's National HIV Testing Week, but I think we should remember we do this throughout the year. So testing is really simple, and it's trying to encourage people to know your status, know kind of where you're at, basically.
So now I know for, because I myself and my partner, we get regularly tested as well. I know when you go to the GUI clinic, it's a blood sample they take, and it goes off, and it's about a week before it comes back. What's the difference with the kind of tests that you guys do?
So the work that I do tends to be in the sauna. So we have two kind of main offerings at the moment. One is in the sauna, and two in the fetish clubs that guys are going to. And there we offer a 20-minute test. So it's about a 20-minute consultation where
is it something simple like a finger prick?
It's a finger prick. We take a little bit of blood. We put that onto a sample strip. We add a bit of chemical to it. And then we wait 20 minutes and then we have our result. It's that quick. And then obviously we're around to support anybody that gets a reactive result. So yeah, quick, simple. And we'd really advocate that at the moment where we have a number of offers, and we're in the Eastern Community Centre at the moment where there are HIV home testing kits that people can come and pick up and take home.
Okay. Well, available from this building?
Available from this building.
Oh, I did not know that.
So if people want to come forward, you know, a very simple test.
And I think also what that does, so one of our big objectives as an organisation is to try and eradicate the transmission of HIV within the UK. And that's possible to do with condom use, with treatment as prevention, and also now PrEP. But to do that, we need people to go out and to test. So that's what this week has been about, and we would kind of strongly encourage your listeners to do that.
Yeah, we should point out PrEP obviously is only HIV. It is still important, you know, even if you actually end up being on PrEP, to still have play safe and get regularly tested, isn't it? Because it's not just HIV, obviously. I mean, that's the main that's focus, right. Especially but, this time of year with World AIDS Day.
But I would say from our perspective as a national HIV organisation, that obviously we're trying to reduce HIV.
Yeah, yeah.
We recognise that, you know, it's well evidenced that PrEP is highly effective in reducing rates. And obviously we want to be promoting the fact that the IMPACT trial is about to go live. So
now that's the NHS one, isn't it?
That's correct.
Yeah, through Public Health England, the funding. Yes. Yeah.
Right.
So it's likely to go live in the first 2 weeks of December. So what I would ask your listeners to do is keep a really good eye on the Unity Sexual Health website and the Unity Sexual Health Facebook page.
Right.
Because it will go live on there, first of all, and then a number will be released that people phone. And it will be on a first-come, first-served basis.
Oh, so anyone could sign up for the trial?
So anybody can sign up for the trial. At that stage, they will then be triaged. And so they have to go and meet with a consultant and talk about their kind of sexual lives.
Do we know an approximate date where it may potentially be available on the NHS for everyone?
The whole point of the IMPACT trial now, so what we know is that PrEP works. We've got the data for that. And just interestingly, talking about sexually transmitted infections, from the previous studies that show the efficacy of PrEP, we didn't see a significant increase in sexually transmitted infections. So we know that PrEP works. What the IMPACT trial will do now is kind of look at the uptake for that. And that will help to inform and give us more data to hopefully get Public Health England to kind of bring us in line with what Scotland are doing, basically, and have this widely available to everyone on the NHS.
Right.
Marvellous.
That's
cool.
Brilliant.
Well, listen, it's been lovely to catch up with you, and it's great to know that THT are still here and well and truly in force in Bristol as well. I hope that, if nothing else, dispels a few myths, because I know a few people were a bit worried.
Pass it on campaign.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. We're still around.
And I just want to say one final thing before we go. So tomorrow, we've been awarded a Civic Blue Plaque for the old building.
Oh, amazing.
Because of the work that went on there and the lives that were affected through that. So from 3 o'clock tomorrow, 3 till 5 tomorrow, we'll be doing the unveiling of the plaque.
Amazing.
And is that so,
then people will be able to go.
That's in West Street in Old Market, and so anybody's invited along.
And wear your red ribbon.
Yes.
So the world can see red.
Yes, cool. Brilliant.
Well, I hope the campaign goes really well, and do keep at it. We'll make sure that we get you back in and catch up with you again in the future. But THT.org.uk, I believe, is the address if people want to find out more.
That's right. Or if you want to look at the local services, so that's then unitysexualhealthservices.co.uk.
Marvellous. Okay.
Cool. Thank you for your coming in.
Thank you.
Pleasure.
Updating us.
Yeah, cool. Thank you very much.
Stay with us. You're listening to Shout Out. Back in a minute.
The Shout Out Podcast.
Bristol's a successful city with lots to be proud of. We want everyone to share in that success. But it's not easy. We have to make financial savings in order to protect services for our growing population. We've outlined some ideas on things like council tax and parks, but we need your views to help us make the right decisions. Please go to bristol.gov.uk/corp strategy and have your say. These are tough times, but we have high hopes. Together, we can do it.
This is Shout Out News on Thursday, 30th of November.
A book which spawned an inspirational film on the AIDS activism era called How to Survive a Plague has won a prestigious literary award. 58-year-old David France has won the Bailey Gifford Prize for his account of being a young gay man moving to New York in 1981, just as the first cases of what had hitherto been described as junkie pneumonia surfaced in the gay male communities. Mr. France told journalists that for a long while, gay men who'd been through the harrowing 80s and lost scores of friends had difficulty processing the emotional legacy of what they had been through. Even after the introduction of antiretroviral therapies in the mid-1990s, it took a long time, he said, to sink in that the worst was over. Today, Mr. France added, we can look at the triumphs of the era. For example, the AIDS activist group ACT UP, which still functions today, started in May 1987. and brought together gay men, lesbians with experience of the feminist health movement, people of colour and intravenous drug users in unity against the indifference of the authorities. Now, the book, How to Survive a Plague, is available at all good booksellers, including LGBT specialist ones like Gays the Word and News from Nowhere.
Joy Everingham has become the first transgender woman to be ordained and appointed by the Methodist Church. Methodists are a type of Christian that gained ground in the 18th and 19th centuries and are known for placing emphasis on people's personal reading of the Bible and are broadly liberal in their outlook. Joy is a chaplain at the University of Kent and was inspired to come out by the BBC Radio 5 live presenter Stephanie Hurst. Joy has had a long journey with her wife and a family, and she says has had the backing of a Christian community who have been highly supportive, understanding of her transition. The reporting of the case has demonstrated the sorry state of the supposedly Christian media as well. The ultra-conservative Premier Christian Radio website has inundated with bizarre, inaccurate and transphobic messages about the Methodist Church's decision. However, we have linked it to our news page so that you can argue with the readers, and should you wish. By contrast, Joy received a warm welcome by Kent Online, her local news website, who talked to her in detail, and even the Daily Telegraph reported on the case in an even-handed fashion.
Tributes from across the alternative rock scene have been flooded in for Little Peep, a bisexual young man from the US who had made music in the emo-rap crossover genre. Little Peep had spoken with some media outlets about his struggles with mental health issues, and the Guardian newspaper adds that he appears to have died from a drugs overdose. Pete Wenz from the band Fall Out Boy commented, "When I talked to him on Instagram, I felt so connected."
Gay and human rights campaigner Peter Tatchell is best known for his LGBT activism, but he also has his interests in other fields. He is a supporter of vegan charity Animal Aid, for example, and has written on issues such as diversity, free speech in Cornish independence. This week, he has lent his support a new report from the campaign group Dignity is Dying, which exposes how British people have to spend a fortune in going to Dignitas Clinic in Switzerland if they are terminally sick and do not have any quality of life. Visit our website to link to his tweet.
And finally, more words have been written about the BBC programme Doctor Who than any other series on English language television, even Star Trek. So it's nice to see that the current issue of Panini Comics Doctor Who magazines reports that the gay newswire Pink News has commended the show for its gay and trans friendliness. Pearl McKee, who played the Good Doctor's first lesbian assistant, was present at the Pink News Awards to pick up the accolade. Now, arguably, Doctor Who's support for outsiders and minorities goes back to its very first episode, brought to the screen by a Jewish woman, directed by a gay Arabic director, and with that haunting theme tune realised by a female computer expert. Well, 54 years later, and David Bradley is going to step into the shoes of the late William Hartnell to bring back the very first incarnation of the Doctor. He will meet with Peter Capaldi's version on the Cybermen's frozen homeworld of Mondas on Christmas Day's episode. The first Doctor will then help the 12th incarnation regenerate into her first female body, to be played by Jodie Whittaker. Meanwhile, the Christmas and New Year issue of the Doctor Who magazine will go on sale at newsagents from December the 14th.
For these news stories and more for the LGBT universe, check out our website shoutoutradio.lgbt.
For Shoutout News, this has been Terry Starr.
And Tara Fraser.
Shout out news.
National and international LGBT news for you.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
A bit of steps.
Yeah.
Steps. I put them in on purpose. They've been over in, is it Cardiff? They've been performing.
I think so, yeah.
Loads of my friends were there yesterday. I was like, oh, if I'd have known, I'd have gone.
Do you think their audience is more likely to be gay men now?
Why?
I'm just asking because it used
to
be.
Are you stereotyping?
It used to be teenage girls, isn't it?
No, Steps. It's never. It's off a big game. Man.
Are they releasing any new material?
This,
or
is brand new.
Oh, brand new.
Well,
this
is not brand new. It was out a couple of months ago. We played it when it first came out.
Is it doing well in the hit parade?
In the what?
In the hit parade.
In the hit parade.
I love Terry.
Called it the hit parade.
Terry's like back in the '70s. We had the hit parade.
Well done. I'm pleased that Steps are still around. I remember boogieing to Steps at the Queen Chilling many years ago.
Tragedy was the one.
Oh, yes.
I think
yes.
I saw you, Terry.
There was a time a Tragedy came out where I knew every single move.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Everybody did.
Control.
Me and my best mate, Paul, we knew it all.
With the listeners, we are actually reenacting those moments from Andy's past on the dance floor with the Steps Tragedy.
God, they were good Steps, though. Even for me, I used to bang them out when I was little. So, yeah, no, I was definitely on the step scene.
You've been in nappies when Steps was out.
I don't think quite nappies. It was like
maybe
was
about four.
Yeah, exactly. And I could groove a thing like at four.
But at four?
Yeah, fact, trust me.
Do you know, the worst thing is, I could actually imagine you age
four.
Yeah,
you can. Yeah, I was just proper like, sassy. I was just grown into my sass. But yeah, no, I was definitely boogieing.
So, grown into anyway, it. I think you've already had it all the time, all your life.
Anyway, you may not have picked up, but every now and again we do a special feature which we call News Mag or News Extra. We haven't really got a name for it yet. We keep changing our mind.
If anyone has a good idea, a really witty name for it, then do
it. Doesn't
drop
contain the word shout or
speaking, seriously speaking, or something.
So, but it's basically where we take a topic that's kind of been in the news. It's been talked about lots. Sometimes it's by audience suggestion. So if you're listening and you have one you'd like us to talk about, do drop us a line, studio@shoutoutradio.lgbt. This week, though, what are we talking about, Terry?
Well, this week we're talking a little bit about gay people, trans people, and the whole gender fluid and sexuality wider fluid spectrum, on the issue of mental health and our relationship with the mental health professions. And we've got Tara and Mitch, who know a great deal more about it than I do, we're going to talk a little bit about it. And what prompted this was a really weird report which appeared in the Times a few weeks back, on October the 27th, in fact, which said that researchers at Glasgow University claim, and they just claim this, that their study, they interviewed 300 people, right, that they found that heterosexual men and gay women are drawn to a partner with the same eye colour as their mother, whilst heterosexual women and gay men look for a man whose eye colour is that of their father. And on the basis of this, they said that Sigmund Freud was right in that, you know, the whole Oedipus complex.
How on earth did you get to that conclusion in the first place?
It's a very strange research, but they ran a whole big article on it saying Freud was right, lovers only have eyes for mum and dad. Yeah. And as you know, that's the sort of basis. I think it's, am I right, Tara, in saying that's a basis of Freudian
Oedipus
development theory? Is the idea
that
children look for, and as we grow up, we look for a replication of our mothers or fathers.
Our initial systemic relationships.
Can someone, I know a bit about it, but there'll certainly be people listening who don't know. Can someone tell me about Freud and Freudian stuff?
So Freud was a hypnotherapist. He trained as a hypnotherapist. He wanted to be a doctor, couldn't be practiced because of the era he was brought up in, being Jewish in Austria.
And what era was this? Do we know? Are we talking
early 1900s?
Early 1900s,
So he couldn't practice medicine, so he had to do something else. So he went and he trained in hypnotherapy, and he worked out that hypnosis wasn't the critical part of the therapy, and that's how he introduced talking. Mm. You know, where he was actually, so the patient would lie down and he would be behind them and he would talk to him, and he'd decree almost what was wrong with them, to be honest.
So you'd be
different.
This like disembodied voice of wisdom that was there to let people know, you know, what was wrong with them, and you know, in this analytical kind of sense.
And am I getting the impression right that from what you're saying a lot of it is not what we actually believe happens today? Or
well, I think I know
quite a lot has been discredited.
Well, see, I still quite like Freud in some of this respects, in terms of relationships, didactic relationships. So if you've got a relationship with three people, there's always going to be one that you're going to have a better relationship with than another, and it's almost this inevitability about it. So as a child, your mother and father is in competition, and you know,
and you are the third person in that relationship. So
but as Mitch said, there's something fundamentally quite misogynist about a lot of Freud's ideology.
I mean, well, that, in my opinion.
Yeah. And you see, for me, for me, he talked about people being bisexual. And for that era and time of, you know, we're talking about early 20th century. Yeah. When
he wasn't the only one to really talk about that, you know, variant sexualities and things. I think Jungian philosophy would have included.
But he was part of that group, wasn't he? That and then he
They kind of
disagreed. Yes, they disagreed. There's quite a lot of disagreement.
There was quite a lot of disagreement. And then, of course, there's Carl Rogers, who went off and did a humanistic person-centred approach, which is very different, which is about the person presenting. And they're the expert rather than the psychotherapist is the expert. So.
Oh. And Rogers is a lot more later, isn't he? He's mid-20th century.
1950s, 1960s. Yeah, 1950s. American, brought up in a farming community, minister. Yeah. Yes. From a minister family.
Oh, really?
Yeah, where he was. Yeah, so he learned his style of through he dealt with kids, and he and through communicating with kids, he worked out his style of therapy.
So for someone, because there are people that will be listening who perhaps either don't have mental health issues or have never had a need for a counsellor, whether they do or they don't. If you've never been to one, what kind of thing happens when you're there these days? Is it a lie on the couch like the old-fashioned belief? And
you can that still happens, doesn't it, in psychodynamic therapy?
You've got to choose who your therapist is. I mean, that's the thing. There's a whole process for you to actually decide what sort of therapy you want to go for.
But you're the one that decides.
Well, as a person.
Well, you as a person.
Right.
Because, it's self-determining, isn't it? It's you've got a right to choose what kind of therapy you think is going to work for you.
And there's lots of different models out there. For example, the NHS often refers to a type of therapy called CBT, which is cognitive behavioural therapy. Yeah. Very popular at the moment. It does have its detractors. You know, some people say it's not as effective as it should be. But
it's very solution-focused, isn't it? Very short-term kind of solution.
And you can tick boxes. Yeah. You can see that's happened. And that's what NHS likes. They like that whole concept that they can tick a box and say...
Direct outcomes.
Yeah, I've had a lot of friends that have gone through CBT, and while they feel like it's very revolutionary when they're doing it, like often they slip back into what they were doing before because it's not long term; it's very short term, which is great for at the time because obviously everyone likes a short term goal, but predominantly you want something that's going to last more of a lifetime thing.
Yeah, and maybe change the way
is that the only one that's available on the NHS, or is it
talking therapy?
There is. There's counsellors and various forms.
They will try and put you to CBT for a start, but you can insist on talking therapies because there's a kind of stepping up. You can have CBT and then talking therapies.
So CBT doesn't work for you. You can ask for the sort of something else. I do know a few people that have.
There's a lot of organisations out there that also do a lot of therapies. Like I went to therapy at Brooks, which is a women's kind of health clinic, and that was really I found like talking was, I mean, I know I love talking, but certain things it's harder to talk about. It's harder to talk about, so that talking really helped me. So it's about what you want.
I mean, because we know that the LGBT plus community is adversely affected by mental health. We're more likely to have issues,
More likely to experience ideas such as suicidal ideation or self-harm, things like that. But we shouldn't overstate it. There's lots of many happy LGBTQ people
well. No, I know.
But statistically speaking, our community is impacted by mental health issues.
I mean, you've also got, you know, obviously there's a creative therapies, which is I'm one of those kind of in that kind of bracket with where you've got the arts and art therapy, play therapy, drama therapy, music therapy and dance therapy as well, which is more around body mind connectivity, which is people can access, and a lot of those are non-verbal as well. So, you know, as opposed to the talking therapies, you've got the ones that use, you know, your expression in a different way.
So going back to the article,
yes,
do we know why it sounds so bonkers? Because it does sound a bit odd that I'm going to fancy someone because of the colour of their eyes based on their parents.
But the idea of these researchers in Glasgow have sort of interpreted this is that in that Freudian sense is that women look for a man You know, we're talking
not
heterosexuals.
Not unlike the father.
Not unlike the father, and that men look for a woman, and that gay men and gay women also, you know, look for that. The object choice of their desire represents the parent, you
but
see.
I thought.
But that predisposes the concept that you asexuality is something it's learned rather than something that's innate in oneself.
Yeah. Mm.
So there's a whole kind of argument there that you bring
and
up.
And it's an argument that persists, doesn't it, to the present day about what causes issues, I shouldn't say that, but you know what I mean, phenomena such as our sexuality, our gender identity.
I'm 100% sure I didn't learn it.
No.
But then I think you are a product of your environment, definitely. Like, you definitely model your love life, like who you search for, on what you've experienced. So, like, I'd say a lot of my what I look for and the unhealthy stuff, particularly, is sometimes mimics an unhealthy part of my parents' relationship, and I think that's quite common in a lot of people if they've had been around unhealthy relationships, friends, parents, everything like that. They tend to look for that in their partners because you accept the love you think you deserve. You accept the love that's been around you, kind
but
of thing.
But it's also those. It's a familiar. Isn't it? It's a familiar
definitely.
Way. Oh well, this you know.
This must be right.
This must be right because this is what I've seen happen
definitely.
With my parents.
It's such an easy thing to do. I know for myself that actually to break those habits, it's just so hard.
It is.
You know,
it's what you've learned.
That's what you. It's just what you know, and to step outside that is just so phenomenally hard.
Well, I know I've had completely different relationships to the ones that my mother had, so you know, and my partner doesn't have the same colour eyes as my mother.
No, neither.
So, I was thinking that myself. Yes.
And then of course you've got people like me and Tara, we're adopted. Does that
exactly
does it
so
play
how would you know,
that? You know? It's you know, I wouldn't even know what my real dad's eye colour is or my mum's.
Yeah. I guess it's probably not like they're not saying that it's you look for it, but it's just more that you can't help it. Isn't like it's something that you see, but you don't. It doesn't. It's innate in your heart.
But is it
mind.
Right?
It's just one simplistic thing you point out, isn't it? Eye color. It could be the length of the hair, the color of the hair. You know, you could pick up anything of a human.
I mean, I've seen articles over the years of things saying that they can tell whether you're gay or straight by how long your fingers are and things like that. You know,
and there was another. A recent report which suggested that there was, I think, a robot, wasn't it, or a computer program which could analyse people's faces and make a determination on their sexual identity and their gender identity.
Oh, gosh, I did get it wrong. it was an app, wasn't it?
It was. That's right, it was an app.
And it kept getting it wrong and saying that lost bit. And they're going to, of course, have brought in the whole kind of, if it was used in a country where being gay was illegal and it got it wrong, the consequences could be very serious. Because they could use it for the wrong reason to identify gay people that weren't actually gay. And then of course you've got a huge kettle of fish opening there.
I don't know, do you not find that sometimes that, like me particularly, I've looked for people that are exactly opposite to my parents because I don't want anything, a relationship that's similar to that, even though they've been married for 34 years. Like I look for, like, my partners have been completely diverse, like tattooed,
but then,
like,
but my parents I mean, for me personally, from my experience, one of the things that makes me and Carl, my husband, so strong as a couple is there are certain aspects of our life where we are so chalk and cheese that we are that different. So we don't, you know, I mean, it's like he absolutely loves books and I can't stand reading, and I love technology and electronics and it's not really his cup of tea kind of thing, you know. But those differences mean that we are so different people that when we're together we also work well as a team.
But like that's I'm saying, like, is it centered around your parents? That's what the article's talking about. Like, do you think you've got that, the fact that you like someone so opposite to you, is it because you've seen it replicated in your parents? So they're so opposite that's why you kind of get that dynamic?
I don't know. It doesn't really say you're gay, though, does it? It doesn't say that it's just saying the person you're attracted to.
Those are object choice.
Rather than
The object choice, I guess that's a,
that's a choice is the problem in
yes,
that.
Yes, that's what I'm. That was what I was going to say. It's like you're alluding to a choice rather than a.
Well,
does that mean that all the heterosexuals then they choose To be straight, then yes. Does that mean?
Well, that's that age old, isn't it? When someone says, "Oh, when did you decide to be gay?" It's like, well,
yeah, when did you decide to be straight? See, we got an answer for everything,
and a very good answer it is as well. Very good one. Yes,
is an odd question. So, but no, just, I mean, with me and Carl met, neither of us wanted a relationship at all.
No, yeah, definitely.
And actually, we fell in love, and it got to a point where it was like we were a year later and everyone was like, oh, he already thought you were a couple, and we weren't, you know. So I wasn't looking or even consciously making a choice. We just kind of gelled.
Yeah, but that's the whole thing. Is it innate, though? Is it something you don't have? You're not. It's a subconscious thing.
Carl and my subconscious.
he was always there.
It was just an interesting thing. It's just an interesting point, though, like whether you realise it or not.
I'm trying to get into Steph's subconscious sometimes.
Oh,
it's just
I bet you do.
Totally Steph is silent. In the back of the studio listening.
I do think that's delving into a cavern of delights in there.
Pandora's box, more like.
Pandora's box of depravity.
Depravity? Terry!
I mean, it is worth.
Sorry, Steph.
Is it worth saying that there are places people can find therapy other than an NHS where you can get reduced rates, because there's lots of therapists out there training and actually that's available.
Absolutely, places like Womenkind, those kind of things.
Bristol Mind
and Pink Therapy has a directory of LGBTQ counsellors as well.
Yes.
Marvellous. We'll have to try and make sure we put some of the links up on the website.
And you may well, find that there'll be some more different expressive therapies that might be available.
Absolutely.
As well.
It's like your Zumba class as a therapist.
Well, I guess.
Are you still doing Zumba these days?
I do Zumba. Yes, I do Zumba these days.
Having said that, I think dance brought me out of my shell. Like, I wasn't always this fabulous, beacon of hope.
You weren't always
No, I'm joking.
Ladies and gentlemen, Lara the fabulous.
Yeah, dance makes you happy, it's a good way to connect with the mind and body.
And people as well, on a different level.
Absolutely, it's very, very good.
Are you going to start dancing in the studio now?
Only if you want me to, honey.
I always want you to dance.
It just turns that logical brain off and you just...
Very difficult to operate the mics if you lot start dancing.
I bet.
So anyway, that's it for today's show. But yes, you know exactly what to do.
Yeah, if you want to get in touch again, go to the shoutoutradio.lgbt where you'll find all the info you need. And listen again.
Last week we caught up with Bristol Pride. Next week we're going to be talking to Western Pride. So join us for that.
Fantastic.
But from myself, Mitch, Terry, Tara and Lara, say bye-bye, everyone.
Bye, everyone.
The fabulous Lara. Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.